Good morning and happy Sabbath. It's an honor for me to be here today. Let's bow our heads, though, before we begin. Our dear Lord, we pray for the Holy Spirit to guide us today as we study your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to tell you about my favorite story in the Bible. The little children will remember this because there's a song that goes with it. It's found in Luke 19, beginning with verse 1, about Zacchaeus. Or Zacchaeus, if some of you call him that. He was just a little man. He climbed up in a sycamore tree because he wanted to see Jesus. The little children love this song because it gets to where Jesus comes to the tree and they say, "Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today." Let's read about this in our Bibles. Luke 19:1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. A little bit more in there. And then verse 10, we always forget the end. The children don't sing about it, but this is the most important part. In verse 10 it says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." So Jesus was actually looking for Zacchaeus when Zacchaeus was only hoping to see Jesus. Jesus was actually looking for him. I have a story here. Joseph Stowell writes, "I'll never forget the frustrating experience early one Sunday morning when I was supposed to pick up an elderly relative who had come into Chicago on the train from Milwaukee. The whole purpose of the exercise was to find her and get her safely to our house. I showed up on time, but where was she? Certainly not where I thought she would be. I checked the monitor. The trains were already in. With a sinking feeling in the pit of my stomach, I scoured the early morning loneliness of Union Station to no avail. I was about ready to leave when I happened to glance down a hallway toward the baggage area. There she was, luggage at her feet, patiently waiting for me to arrive. She'd been there all the time, and to my chagrin, she was right where she should have been. I had been looking in all the wrong places. The great news is that Jesus is here. He is waiting for you and for me. In fact, he not only waits, but also at this very moment, he is busily pursuing us. He wants to save everyone." Joseph Stowell wrote in 2002, "My secretary told me I'd been invited to the White House. My heart picked up a little speed. I wonder if I'll get to meet the president." Like everyone else, I'd read a lot about him and seen him countless times on TV. I'd followed his political career with more than a little interest. In fact, I had voted for him. If someone had asked if I knew much about him, I could have launched into a rather extensive description of his background, his political philosophy, and his policies. But this was different. I was on the verge of actually experiencing him personally. Wearing my best pinstripe suit, a starched white shirt, and a presidential tie, whatever that is, I stopped long enough at the airport to get my shoes professionally shined. I could hardly keep myself from telling the man bent over my feet, "Do a good job. These shoes are headed for the White House." I felt sobered, though, as I walked into the grand foyer of our president's home. "These truly are the halls of power," I said to myself. Behind closed doors in this very house, wars have been declared and history made. I found myself seated on the front row in the East Room, the small gathering hushed as a commanding voice announced, "Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States." We all stood as he walked in briskly and took his place on the low platform. I couldn't take my eyes off of him. I was in his presence and found myself intrigued by his every move. Later, in a very brief conversation, I was surprised at how engaged he seemed. If only for a moment, he looked into my eyes and gave me his attention. Frankly, having experienced the reality of his presence, I will never view our president in the same way again. I went away wishing I could know him better. It's like that in our relationship with Jesus. We can be satisfied just to know about him, or we can enter into an experience with him. The choice determines the difference between religion as usual or the satisfaction of connecting with Jesus, the one we were created to enjoy. Jesus extends this invitation to all of us in Revelation 3:20. "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them and they with me." This is incomparably better than an invitation to the White House. "I will come in and eat with them and they with me." The eternal God of the universe has called us into fellowship, friendship, companionship, close contact with his Son. Jesus never intended to connect only with your head. He lives to connect with the entire you. In fact, he sent us the Holy Spirit to make the total connection possible and gave us his word to show the way. And you can know the pleasure of his presence up close and personal. It was last November I received an email, came from a student I'd had many years ago, and it said that President Obama was in contact with the Pope, and in January they were going to set up the Sunday law, and because of all the problems and disasters in the world. So I immediately got my email, and I took it to one of the Bible teachers at Loma Linda Academy, and we Googled the names on it. We couldn't find anyone. A few days later, I received another email that it was a bogus email. But when I first got that email, I was so excited. I couldn't believe it. It's almost here. It's almost here. Jesus is almost here. When I was in Kansas City as principal at the Junior Academy, I had a little first grader, 6 years old. It was at the end of the school year, and I had asked each of the students to talk about what Jesus meant to them. And this little six-year-old first grader said, "I want to see Jesus so bad. I have been waiting so long." She was 6 years old. "I have been waiting so long." I have another story. The meal was just about finished when Joseph leaned over and asked Billy Graham a question he had hoped to ask him all evening. Joseph and his wife had been seated next to Dr. Graham at a dinner for the staff and board of his organization. Billy, 80 at the time, was lucid and interesting. Wondering what he would say about his highest joys in life, Joseph asked, "Of all your experiences in ministry, what have you enjoyed the most?" Then, thinking he might help him out a little, he quickly added, "Was it your time spent with presidents or heads of state? Or was it..." Before he could finish the next sentence, Billy Graham swept his hand across the tablecloth as if to push his suggestions on the floor. "None of that," said Billy. "By far the greatest joy of my life has been my fellowship with Jesus. Hearing him speak to me, having him guide me, sensing his presence with me and his power through me, This has been the highest pleasure of my entire life. It was spontaneous, unscripted, and clearly unrehearsed. There wasn't even a pause. With a life full of stellar experiences and worldwide fame behind him, it was simply Jesus who was on his mind and on his heart. His lifelong experience with Jesus had made its mark, and Billy was satisfied. Joseph found Billy Graham's statement that evening more than convicting. He found it motivating, right to the core of his being. With everything in him, he wanted what Billy had experienced. He found his heart saying, "If I make it to 80, I want to say the same thing, simply Jesus." Another story. "Daddy, are we famous?" Libby, a 7-year-old, looked up into her daddy's eyes. Famous? Her daddy was pastoring a church in a very small Midwestern town at the time, and it didn't take long for him to respond. "No, honey," he assured her. "We're not famous at all." The little girl paused thoughtfully, and then with confidence she replied, "Well, we would be if more people knew about us." If you are in the process of becoming a fully devoted follower of Christ, then life is an adventure in getting to know Jesus. And when we live to know him, we find that knowing him is the key to understanding and making peace with ourselves. Are you trying to discover self-worth? You have it in him. He died for you. Are you plagued by failure and guilt? He does what no one else will or can do for you. He forgives and forgets. He kills the fatted calf as heaven rejoices and clothes you in the best robes of his righteousness. Are you searching for significance? Search no more. You are his child. There is no greater significance than that. Wondering if there is any reason or purpose for you to take up space on this careworn planet? The mystery is unraveled in him as he scripts your life to be lived for his glory and to reflect the radiance of his character. We should never get tired of Jesus. We should find him more compelling, more engaging, more awesome, more surprising, more fulfilling, and more attractive than ever before. We should find ourselves longing to know him better. Paul writes in Philippians 3:7-9, "I once thought all these things were so very important, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I may have Christ and become one with him." In Philippians 4:4 it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." Rejoicing in Jesus is the liberating response that frees us from the endless task of trying to satisfy and fill our souls with ourselves and our accomplishments. It frees us from the endless torment of worrying about being recognized, affirmed, and adequately appreciated. It soothes otherwise fragile egos that are quickly frustrated and irritated when others don't live up to our expectations or when we don't get what we think we deserve. Living to brag on Jesus instead of ourselves must have been what Jeremiah had in mind when he said in Jeremiah 9:23-24, "Let not the wise man gloat in his wisdom, or the mighty man in his might, or the rich man in his riches. Let them boast in this alone, that they truly know me, and understand that I am the Lord who is just and righteous, whose love is unfailing, and that I delight in these things. I, the Lord, have spoken. So, boasting is a healthy activity when it centers on Jesus. Why do we keep drawing attention to ourselves? Why do we want to get credit and seek applause for our good deeds? I remember HMS Richards used to pray, Lord, forgive me of my good deeds because they distract me from you. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Why do we boast in our accomplishments? Everything good we've ever managed to do is because of Him, accomplished in and through His grace and strength. If it weren't for Him, His grace to save me and supply my life with all I've needed to accomplish and succeed, I would be and do nothing of significance at all if it weren't for Him. We need to cultivate a reflex response that immediately triggers gratefulness and praise to Jesus for enabling us to accomplish what we do when something good happens in our lives, when we've performed well and received a few strokes, when we've been acknowledged and affirmed, when our fondest dreams have come true. When we are blessed, we need to master the response that takes that spark of joy that we feel about ourselves and let it explode into joy of celebrating His grace in our lives. The moment you do this, you connect with Him and lose yourself in His abundant goodness. When we live to praise Him for all that He is and master the liberating art of celebrating His worthiness rather than our own, we have positioned ourselves to meet Him in a way beyond what we have ever experienced before. And it is important to note that this principle needs to be operative in bad times as well as good. And we're having plenty of bad times right now. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 16-18, be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Those who experience the pleasure of His presence have made their lives simply about Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, from the depths of our hearts, we ask for complete cleansing. Grant us the grace to keep self in its proper place and to make our lives simply about You. In the midst of all our routines, successes, and disappointments, help us to always rejoice in You and value You above any earthly prize. Meet us in temptation and deliver us from evil. And if we should suffer, help us to pause to feel Your pain and love You more the way You suffered for us. Jesus, we will live this day on bended knee by Your side in Gethsemane. What You ask, we will do. Thank You for the promise that You will reward those who diligently seek You. We do seek You with all our hearts. We humbly ask that in Your good time and in Your way, You would satisfy our hearts with the experience of Your presence. In Your worthy name we pray. Amen. Before I leave, I want to say a little bit about our school. We have to focus on simply Jesus. This is His school, and we should pray for His will to be done. We need to get the word out about what is happening here now and rejoice in God that He gives us the breath, the passion, and the purpose to share His word with children and families in this community. There is a program that I've used several years in other schools. It's called Skills for Adolescents, and it's put out by the Lions Club International. The program builds important competencies through an emphasis on character education, communication and decision-making skills, and service learning. It is also a strong prevention tool guiding children and young people toward healthy choices and a drug-free and violence-free lifestyle. We had our first visit just this last Thursday from the Oregon Child Care Licensing Specialist for our pre-certification consultation. She was quite excited when she saw our school. She was even more excited when she found out that we wanted a preschool child care with our school program. And she also said that for the preschool and child care, we have exceeded the national standard for square footage in the classroom. These classrooms are huge. Not many people have the space. They measure space to let you know how many children you can have. We could be licensed for 31 because of our space. Praise God. We have a new phone system at the school and a new phone number. The new phone number is in the bulletin. We also have a new HP OfficeJet printer, fax, scanner, copier, and many other things. Many thanks go to many, many people for what is happening and being done. A reminder about our yard sale next Sunday, March 27. It's from 10 to 4. We hope everyone has a chance to participate. Everyone, come out and enjoy the day with us. We know it's going to be a beautiful day. Even when it rains, it's a beautiful day. I love the rain. I love being back in Oregon. I love Oregon. We want people to know more about the opportunities we provide as we strive to get ready for a new school year. We will soon have a website, a Facebook page. I know many of you are on Facebook. And we will have a weekly newsletter that will be given out here in church, between Sabbath school and church. So you want to be sure you're here. And if you would like to have me email it to you, all I need is your email address. So get those to me. Stop by any time and let us know how we are doing. We would love to see you and meet you. I've met many of you. Some of you haven't met, but come by and see me. Remember, this is God's school, and we are here to share more about His Son, Jesus. Simply Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we pray that we will honor and glorify You as we are led by the Holy Spirit in making this school a reality. Thy will be done, we pray. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.